This podcast is sponsored by Low No Drinker magazine, the number one UK magazine for the sober, curious drinker, bringing you news, reviews and interviews from the people, places and brands leading the low and no alcohol revolution. As a Sober Rebel listener, use code SOBERREBEL15 to get 15% off any digital or print subscription from the Low No Drinker magazine for 6 whole months. Hello and welcome to the Sober Rebel podcast, where I talk to my guests about the benefits they've noticed in sobriety, the reasons they enjoy staying sober, and we also talk a little bit about how they got sober. And today I'm talking to Stee, who not only used his sobriety to fuel his own life changes, he's actually set up a way to help others as well and is really giving back to his local community. I'll let him tell you more about it. Hello, welcome. It is so beautifully orange recovery runners top there.
Yes. Yeah, always promoting the brand, eh?
The brand.
Well, no, I'd like to thank you first and foremost for asking me, obviously, to come on. And I know that you started following us recently and we've chatted a little bit on Instagram. And I know that you've got a great podcast, so I thought I'll be a little bit cheeky and ask whether I can get involved. And
absolutely. Well, running hasn't been on my radar. You know, for 45 years of my life, I have not run. And it's only in the last 6 weeks that I've started running. So it's like all of a sudden my radar has opened up to all these runners.
Brilliant. And how are you finding it?
Well, it was painful to start with, I'm not going to lie. The old knees weren't liking it, but I persisted and I went to a physio and I said, look, am I doing any serious damage here? Or is it just I've got to get used to it? And they gave me some strengthening exercises. And do you know what? It has actually been fine. I think sometimes you've got to push through, don't you? But obviously not damage yourself, not hurt yourself.
Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, if I talk about where my running journey started, I was in treatment last year. I went into treatment for a cocaine and alcohol addiction. And whilst I was in treatment for a couple of months, I was trying to work on the mental stuff, the stuff internally that I needed to try and obviously get some answers and workarounds and some tools to be able to cope with all that, because what I used to do in the past is drink and use, but I couldn't do that no more. And I sat in treatment, and one day I was sat there, I'd put 1.5 stone on in weight, I wasn't sleeping great, I looked terrible, my self-care had gone out the window, my head was totally foggy all the time, so I couldn't concentrate on the important things I needed to. And I thought to myself, is this it? Is this it? Because if this is it, this is not what I want. I don't want this, I can't sit with these feelings. And somebody suggested running. So I went out one morning into the car park at the back of the rehab, and it was only a small car park, holds about 10 cars, and ran round, done 20 laps of it, hated every minute of it, couldn't do it. I had to stop 3 or 4 times. But after it, I felt just a little release. I felt just a little bit lighter. I don't know what it was, but I just felt a little bit better. So I went out the next day and the next day. And on those days when I had those aches and the pains, and bear in mind, I was 16.5 stone, and, you know, my ankles were sore, my knees were sore, my back was sore, my shoulders were sore, everything was sore. But I was at a point where as me getting well is more important than anything else. So I need to just try and push through it. So I read a lot online. I looked at all the strengthening exercises because it's really, really important. And I'd done the recovery part for, you know, massage guns on legs, cold showers, cold plunges, all the stuff that I was reading up is good for me for recovery from running, and I persisted with it, and last week I ran near 90 miles. So
wow. Wow, okay, 90 miles, that wasn't all in one go, tell me.
No, so I run on average, my target each week is, so I set at the beginning of the year I want to run 1,000 miles this year, and that sounds crazy, but I broke it down weekly. I just need to run 20 miles. So
just
that's 3 miles a day. And like, you know, when you're starting off, that sounds like a lot. But by Christmas time, I'd been running for 6 months, and that was easily attainable. Reality is, I've been running between 30 and 50 miles a week. But last week, the reason why it was so high was, I don't know if you've seen, Ashley Kane is running up the country, cycling down, and then kayaking back up, for to raise
Yeah.
funds for his daughter's charity.
Yes, yeah.
And I, posted some stuff on social media, tagged his team in himself, and they reached out and said, "Do you want to come and run with him?" So I said, "Yeah, why not?" So last Thursday, actually this time last Thursday, I ran from Liverpool to Runcorn, which was 16 miles, and then Runcorn to Wormskirk, which was 27 odd miles. So I've done 43 miles in that day, and I run 27 miles on Saturday and a bits and bobs throughout the week. But yeah, near 90 miles.
That sounds
Cool.
insane from not running at all.
But it all started off, this is what I say to every, so many people say I can't run, and purely because of where I was last year. This time last year I wasn't running. It was in July, 16th of July, I think it was, it started. You know, I couldn't run. I was massively overweight. You know, my head had no motivation whatsoever to put trainings on, get out the door and run. But when I took that first step and I went out that one day, that's all I had to do. And the next day, I just had to go out and do the same. And gradually, over time, by doing the right things, by putting the effort in, it gets easier and easier. And I love it. Running 43 miles with a smile on my face at the end of it, the feeling, everything of accomplishment is incredible.
Yeah, it definitely is that feeling of accomplishment. Let's talk a little bit about your sobriety journey then. So sobriety led you to running.
Yes.
How long have you been sober now?
So it was the 14th of April last year. It was the last time that I put a drink or drug in my body. But prior to that, I first drank when I was 14, and I first took substances at the age of 16. But by the age of 25, I could probably go back and say that's when I really did have a problem with cocaine in particular.
Yeah.
And from 25 up until last year, I've battled with it. I've had times where I've put it down. But they've only been short periods. And because I didn't have the right tools, because I didn't have the right coping mechanisms, strategies, recovery program, all that stuff, I'd always go back to it when things were a bit too difficult for me. I didn't cope with things very well. But since I was in treatment last year, it allowed me to look at myself, hold the mirror up at me, and say, right, what needs to change? And it was me, it was my behaviors, it was a lot of my core beliefs around myself and others were not great. So I had to unpick all that and rebuild myself into the person that I am today. And running was a massive part of that, because what the running allowed me to do was to clear my mind. I wake up every single morning, even now, full of anxiety. I wake up with anxiety, can't explain it, don't know what I'm worried about, I don't know why. But I wake up in the morning and I go, oh, it's another day. But I get up, I put my trainees on, and I go for a run. And within 5 minutes, it's gone. So then the rest of the day, I'm not carrying that feeling of those knots in my stomach around with me. So that gives me headspace to be able to do what I want to do that day, if any of that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect. It's almost like it's helping you self-regulate, isn't it?
Yes.
That, and I'm not, I wasn't a runner, and you know, I joked, I've joked on this podcast many times, you'll never get me running, you know, no matter how sober I get, I'm never going to run or do an ice bath. There was just something that shifted. It was a bit of a challenge I wanted to do for myself. And
Yeah.
then all of a sudden I was running the one day, and it was only small amounts. I was managing a minute running, a minute walking, a minute running. And, you know, I'm managing now 5K without stopping. I've managed a 7 and 8K. But yeah, I think for me, I just realized, gosh, this is the only time where I'm not doing anything else or multitasking. It's not possible for me to multitask in this moment. Even at the gym, I'm always listening to a podcast and, you
Yeah.
know, making notes on my phone or in between sets, or I'm always on the go and I never shut my brain off. But when you're running, of course, you can't do any of that.
100%, and that's it for me. So, whereas the in the morning time, you know, I don't take any medication or anything these days. And in the past, it would be, I have to get up, have my medication, wait for things to start working, and then I'll be able to obviously try and like get myself through the day. Now instead, that run for me is my medication, whether it be a half hour run or a 2 hour run, getting out there, getting that done, and I'm back, and now I'm ready for the day. And that thing about it's me versus me when I'm out there and running, and in particular when I'm doing the longer runs, and people are like, how? I'm like, for me, they are the best. I like the endurance running, the long distance stuff, because as crazy as this sounds, is it's me battling my own brain, my mind.
Yeah.
And it tells me it wants to stop all the time. What are you doing this for? And we have sort of the internal battle, and then I let go of it. But it can go into like a meditative state where nothing else matters apart from me and putting one step in front of the other, and wherever I land up and wherever, whatever destination I reach, it's just, it's brilliant. I love it.
That's love amazing. It. So how did you end up in a program?
My drinking started at the age of about 14. I lost my uncle sadly to suicide at the age of 9. And the ages from 10 to 14, I can't remember any of it, completely dark, black in my life. At the age of 14, I found out how he actually passed. And when I've been through treatment over the years, I can go back to that point in my life of saying, well, this was the actually first time that I actually can remember feeling depressed. From that, anxiety came in. And when I used to start to go out, I was always the one that wanted people to like me for the wrong reasons. I wanted to be accepted, so I'd drink more than anybody else, I'd take more drugs than anybody else, I'd do the stupid things at the parties back at somebody's house, and you know, it was all for wanting to fit in and be liked. But by doing that so often, it then became a real problem for me, because it wasn't just at the weekend no more, and it wasn't just two or three times in the week, it became a daily thing. And by the time of 25, as I said earlier, I realised that's when I actually had a real issue with cocaine. I managed to get into a relationship somehow, and she got pregnant soon after. And I always wanted children. I always wanted a perfect family network, and you know, because I didn't have that as a kid. And I thought, this is it. This is what's going to fix me. I'm having a kid. This is it. And I did take some time off. And my son came along, but the cracks in my relationship were there, and my son wasn't enough to keep me away from those low behaviours. And sadly, I ended up relapsing and drinking and using again. And it was something that went on for a long, long time. And then in 2019, I had a breakdown, probably work-related, mental health-related. I had a suicide attempt, and I went into a NHS like facility for the first time, and it was then when they started to do a little bit of work with me through psychiatrists and psychology. And in 2020, lockdown came in. All the appointments and stuff that I was supposed to go and see my doctor and stuff, all that got cancelled, and I was stuck at home. And I did get my diagnosis of bipolar, BPD, and OCD. I didn't take that great, because I was 40 years of age, and I'm like, how do I know? How do I only know this now? I've always knew that I was different. I always knew that there was something going on. But to find out all that, because I wasn't in the best mental headspace anyway, I just took a bit of a nosedive and picked up again. 3 months after, I went into a rehab for the first time, but I went into that rehab because I had my relationship with my wife at the time was really bad, and I went in for the wrong reasons. I went in for to try and save my marriage, and you know, to try and save my children. And I went through the process, completed rehab, 20 months clean and sober. But one thing that didn't change when I went in the first time was I learned a recovery program, and my recovery program is SMART. It's self-management and recovery training. And I learned all that, which is great, but it didn't do any work on me. No behavioral changes, didn't work on Stephen. I just learned some new tools from SMART. So my relationship broke down. I separated from my wife, and then after about 8 months or so it was, I ended up relapsing and went 7 months, I was just out of control, crazy. My mental health deteriorated to an all-time low. I was back in crisis last January, and I was with the crisis team for 6 weeks, and I didn't pick up. But 2 weeks after being discharged, I was right back there again, because my way of coping with what was going on for me was to always pick up a drink or a drug, because the feelings were so intense, physically painful. And one night I ended up getting in trouble with the police. When I came home from the police station, I sat at home, and part of me brain was saying, don't worry about it, Steve, just go and have a drink. But another part of me was saying, no, Steve, you've had enough. That's it, you've had enough. So I walked to the rehab that I went to, knocked on, and said, listen, I need help. I went through the process of getting back in there, and a few weeks later I was in. But when I went in this time, I knew the things that I needed to look at. I needed to hold that mirror up at me and started to make the changes from the inside out. And that's what I was allowed to do. And everything changed when I started running, because I lost 2.5 stone in weight. I was sleeping better. I was more motivated to eat the right food, more motivated in my sessions. My head was clearer, so I could concentrate on the stuff I needed to change myself internally. And I often say that running saved my life, and I honestly believe that it did, because it gave me the opportunity to enter recovery properly this time round.
Yeah.
So that was pretty much what got me into treatment and how I started on the journey that I am today.
And one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is because you've obviously set up Recovery Runners. How did that come about? Because you have all these people that are in sobriety meeting up. Tell me about it.
So after my experience and what I was through running, I started to speak to some other people in the rehab to say, come out, come and run with me. And they started to experience the same thing, difficult at the start, but when we were getting out and we were being consistent with it, the aches and pains started to go away. And then the feelings of clearing your headspace, clearing the anxiety, they were experiencing it. So when I was coming to leave treatment, I thought, I don't want to stop running with people. I don't mind running on my own, but I enjoy running with people as well, as I was in the rehab. So I'll set up a group for a Sunday morning, and we'll get 5 or 6 of us running around the park for our recovery. And then the first week, 9 people turned up. The next week, 15, then 20, then 25, then 30. And then last week, we've got like 60-odd people running around the park on Sunday morning for the recovery. And the group went from being, for people who were in recovery from addiction, just running, to now I believe that we are all recovering from something, whether it be we're in recovery from drink or drug addiction, or whether it be mental health struggles or bereavement, trauma, isolation, illness, surgery, whatever it may be, we are all recovering from something. If there's a life event that's happened that we're still battling with a little bit, I believe that's us recovering, or we're in recovery from that. So now people come to the group, and we have a walking group. We have a group that I take who are learning to run. So we teach them, so they run and walk. And then we've got a group now that goes off and runs 1, 2, 3 laps of the park. And people are coming who are recovering from a divorce, you were recovering from all kinds. So it's not just drink and drug related. It's recovery from anything, and everybody is welcome. We are an all-inclusive community. The beauty of it is some of the people who started with us, who in the walking group, are now running 10, 15, 20, 26 miles. And like, yeah. So I ran with a lad on Saturday. He ran 22 miles, which is the furthest that he's ever run. And he started with us just before Christmas as a walker. And his life also has been dramatically changed through not just the running bit. We also do other things within the community, but massively, massively changed. And I've gotten countless amounts of people doing exactly the same.
That is absolutely amazing. And just all that coming from you running in a car park, thinking, yeah, I need to clear my head. I've got to do something. I want to take action. And it is from those small things, isn't it? Those small ideas that pop into our head that these things grow from. Well done. That is amazing.
And running might not be for everybody. I understand that some people just don't enjoy it. I do speak to, so within our community now, we've got a running group, we have a cycling group starting soon, free personal training, free yoga classes, alcohol-free social events. We're going to be doing some courses around emotional, mental, physical well-being and all kinds of stuff. But what I say to the group all the time, find something that you love and do it every single day. Whatever it might be, it might be cycling, swimming, going to the gym, running, knitting, pottery, whatever it is, reading, find something that you love and do it every single day. And that's the chance, the time that you take for you because you deserve it. The world out there is far too busy. And when we're running jobs and families and all that stuff, we never have time for ourselves. And it's just like a pressure cooker that builds up, and that one day something has got to give. Whereas what we try and encourage all the time is you've got to be taking some time off for yourself, even if it's just half an hour in the morning time or in the afternoon or the evening. Find the time within your day. And these one thing I say to people when they say, "Well, I just haven't got it," I asked to look at the screen time on the mobile phone, and it shows 5, 6, 7 hours, 4 hours, 3 hours, whatever it might be. I'm saying, don't tell me you haven't got half an hour for yourself when you're spending 3, 4 hours on the phone every single day.
I've got shivers then. That is such a good technique. I dread to think what my screen time says. Again, what a brilliant way to prove to people that we do have the time for ourselves. And it's about those engagement, those flow activities where you can really lose track of time. Although at the moment, I feel like I'm counting every second when I'm running. I don't feel like I'm losing track of time at the moment, but I'm sure I will get there, that you kind of feel that it is about getting engaged in it and doing something like you say, pottery, crochet, whatever it is, take that time for yourself.
And I think with the running bit, when you do go into flow, and when you're out there, and so at the minute you're counting the seconds, or some people will constantly be looking to see how far that they've run, or the worst thing ever is on a treadmill when you've got the numbers in front of you and
Oh,
it
I
takes
know.
ever, and you're like, it's the worst. So I don't run on a treadmill. I can't do it. I'd rather run outside. And when I'm getting in my own head and it's starting to think how far left, and when you run familiar routes and you get to a certain point, you go, right, okay, now I know it's this far left, and I need to try and distract myself from thinking that way. So I tend to try and just look up a little bit and take in what's around me. I use my senses. What can I see? What can I smell? What can I hear? And just distract myself from the noise that's in my head saying, this is hard, you can't do this, how long left, you've only just started, why don't you just stop, you've done enough, all that stuff. You need to
Yeah.
quieten that down by just observing what's around us.
So bringing in those five senses, isn't it?
100%, yeah,
You can tell
100%.
I'm doing, I throw myself into things. You can tell I'm doing this and I'm new and I'm like, I want to pick your brains as to how to do this properly. But let's talk about a bit more about sobriety then, because obviously you've got your running that's come off the back of it. But I ask people on here to talk about three areas or three things in their life that has altered thanks to their sobriety. What's your first thing that you would think of?
The one thing for me, and even just saying this now, I feel at the back of I feel something in my head getting emotional before I even say it, and it's sobriety has given me, and like I have not liked myself at all ever, and I'm in a place now whereas I am so happy and proud and content with who I am, what I'm doing, and it's only because I do not engage in those old addictive behaviors. I've put the work in and I'm in a place today whereas I am so proud of myself for everything that I've done. I would never ever have of a I still find it a little bit difficult to accept compliments of when people are saying you've done so well, or even from the community members saying thank you for obviously all the help and support that I'm giving them, and they're changing their lives because of what the community has brought them. And I still find that a bit difficult. But one thing that I do know now is that I'm proud of everything that I've done because it's been hard. It's not easy. I posted a video on Instagram yesterday to saying that whether you're one day, 10 days, 10 years or more in recovery, you should be proud of yourself because it is not easy. and I've got myself through the last 14 months and I'm living the best life that I possibly can. My head is in the best, best mental space that it has ever been in my whole entire life. And it's through putting the drink and the drugs down and living a sober life. And a sober life also means that I'm learning new things still. I've got the headspace to be able to take on new challenges and learn things. And it's just a beautiful thing. Recovery is a beautiful thing. I would love more people to talk more about it. 10, 15 years ago, there was big campaigns about people asking people to talk about the mental health more. And people do, which is great. But people still need to talk a lot more. And that's a direct message, especially to some of the men out there, because I do believe that we still need to talk more. But I also believe that people who are in recovery, they come up to me in the park on a Sunday and say, what's this? What's the hoodie about? I say, well, we're in recovery from something, addiction, mental health struggles. And they whisper to me, I've been in recovery for 15 years. And I'm like, why are you whispering that? What it feels like there's a shame there. There's that stigma still there that you're in recovery. You should be shouting from the rooftops. And because that will encourage other people to talk about their own recovery journey or encourage them to put the drinking drugs down and start to live a sober life and come into recovery. It's a beautiful thing. It's not easy, but it's allowed me to be able to live a fulfilling and happy life. So that for me is the main one, 100%. Another one is it's given me the ability now to do things that I could never have imagined. Things like, you know, running last week with Ashley Kane. One is it was a privilege. Two, the ability to be able to actually get up and get out and do something like that. And I've got loads of other events that are coming up, and I've completed half marathons, full marathons. I'm arranging a 110-mile run for October. It's given me my health and my fitness, and you know I'm extremely grateful for that because I've lived a very unhealthy life. So sobriety has given me my health back.
So I was going to ask you actually, so were you in any way interested in fitness? I know you said you weren't a runner before sobriety, but were you in any way interested in fitness at all?
I have what it called. I've been to the gym throughout my life at different stages, but it was always for the wrong reasons. It was always because I wanted to go to the gym, get muscles and look good for the ladies and, you know, all ego stuff. I used to cycle a little bit, but I never took it serious. And the reason why is you always hear that the doctor will say, if your mental health's not great and you're not feeling good, you know, go and exercise. I was like, okay, yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, it just seemed a bit like lame advice. But actually, when you realise there's science behind it, it's kind of...
Yeah, but it's making that connection. So last year, when I started running, after about 2 or 3 weeks of running around my car park, I made the connection that me going out in the morning and doing that is making me feel better. And it was when I made that connection, it was like, okay, Sal, I need to do this more. Because all the other reasons why I always used to go out and exercise was for the wrong reasons. It was, again, wanting muscles in the gym and all that stuff. But there was no connection there. It was a vanity thing.
Yeah.
But as soon as I made the connection, so when I go out now and I do go to the gym, I don't push weights anymore because it just doesn't do it for me. I like to get my body temperature up. I like to get a sweat on. That's where I think all the chemicals get released for me, and that makes me feel good. So it's not just running, it's going to do like a circuit class, or a HIIT class or a mini Hyrox class or something like that, whereas we're getting my body temperature up, there's all the chemicals get released and I feel good after it. And I feel that connection now. I feel it after I've been training. I go, oh, there it is. After a long run, I think they call it runner's high, where we feel elated. There it is. I can feel it. And it's making that connection, whereas I've never done that before in the past. I've done bits and bobs of exercise, but I've never made the connection that it made me feel good because I was doing it for the wrong reasons.
And I think as well, because you haven't got that clarity that you have in sobriety. So when you're sober, you notice, hang on, this is making me feel a bit rubbish, or this is making me feel good. And as much as a lot of the time you don't want to feel emotion, so that's why you tend to reach for alcohol, it's wonderful to be able to feel, because then you can pinpoint what makes you feel good and what makes you feel bad and deal with it. But we're not taught how to do that.
No, I totally agree. All your feelings, and your emotions, and you come back, like I said a minute ago, before I knew what I was about to say, and I could feel the emotion coming up. In the past, because I was constantly in either hangover or come down or in it, you know, none of that was so far buried down deep inside us, you know, none of those emotions and feelings you could ever get to. And now I can feel it. I know when I'm not feeling great. Oh, I don't feel right. I'm going to go and do something. I've got my tools now that I need. I know that I need to go and do, so I can feel my body when it's feeling good, when it's feeling bad, when I need to do something. And that's, again, because I've got no toxins in my body. I've got no poisons in my body now, which is stopping me from feeling those feelings, which is so important.
Yeah, it really is that clarity. It's being able to feel.
Yeah.
That gives you the power.
Yeah, 100%.
So you've got that sort of that energy now, that running energy. You've set up the group. Yeah. So what's your third?
So it is. I've probably got four, to be honest. But
that's all right. I'll allow you another one.
I think the first one then is it's allowed me. So recovery runners, we've recently just set up as a CIC, which is a community interest company or a social enterprise, which allows us now to be able to go out and apply for funding so we can add to the services that we offer. And then we want to be going into businesses, schools, all different services that I'm speaking to behind the scenes. We need some funding to get that off the ground and running, so we can have a blueprint of Liverpool. This is what the services that we offer. This is everything that we do. Here's all the services that use us. And then we can move that and franchise that model into different towns and cities around the country. So everybody, all the communities around the UK, have the ability to access what we do in Liverpool and what's working so well. So for me, being in sobriety has given me this. It's given me now a future in a field which is completely different to what I've ever done. You know, I've come from a sales background, used to sell cars most of my life, and this has given me a new direction in regards to what I want to do moving forward as a career. I want to be in a place where as I can help as many members of our community and the communities around the country, because everybody deserves to get well. Everybody, and I'm passionate about it because I've been in the worst possible place, a place where, you know, writing letters to my children, like, and I can't. It's a sad thing. I have to remind myself sometimes of where I've come from, how far I've come, and it's painful to do it. But I know how painful it is for some people who are out there right now. And we're on a mission. We want to help as many people as possible, whether it's drink or drug related, mental health related, you know, whatever it is that people are struggling with. We want to have services available whereas we can help as many people as possible. And sobriety has given me the option now to be able to start to put all these things in place. So that's the third one. And the fourth one, which is a bit of a one for me, it is, I have the ability now to make memories and dreams and fulfill things that I've never, ever even thought that would be possible. You know, 110 miles I'm running in October. I'm running from coast to coast. I've got a few other things. But I'm also in the process of sorting out a trip to Everest to to do a base camp. And it's like, you're doing what? And I'm like, yeah. I want to go and see and stand on the biggest mountain in the world. And that would not even have been a thought, let alone anything that's even possible, whilst I'm out there in the madness doing all those things. And opportunities now allow me to be able to do stuff like this. So making new memories, really, really important. Really, really important for me, because that, again, that's the time that I'm going to take a little bit for me. I'm giving loads to others, but I'm also taking back enough, making sure my cup is full. And there's certain things that I want to go and do, and Everest is definitely one of them. So that is on the bucket list.
And that must be so far removed from where you were.
Yeah, 100%.
It was never on the bucket list before.
No. And the fact that, you know, walking far was never even part of my life. You know, it used to be to the shop or just outside to see somebody. It wasn't walking up hills, let alone mountains. And I love the outdoors. I always have loved the outdoors, but I've never had the ability, the mental ability or being in the right headspace or place to be able to go and explore stuff. And even in my previous relationship, that was something that was done regularly, but I just didn't go.
Join in?
No.
Oh, gosh.
And that's what I love. I do actually love spending time outside, but I just weren't. And the family were going out, and I was just like, no, I'm not going. I can't go for reasons of either full of it or hungover or, you know, my children lost out. I lost out. And now I'm going to make sure that I do these things because they're important to me and I have the ability to do them these days.
And it is so important, isn't it? That meaning of life, that accomplishment that we feel, which you don't get when you're drinking. I didn't feel enthused about life the way that I do now. And then you kind of, I wonder what's next. It's like my head's always going, well, what's next then? What are you going to do next? Now you started running. Okay, what next? You know, in my head, so people keep saying half marathon.
When you've said you've done 6 or 7 kilometres now, I'm like, wow, you are perfect to get yourself signed up for a half marathon and go and do it. And, you know, and trust me, you are more than capable. And it doesn't have to be around a specific time that we have to achieve or anything like that. Running is about having fun. Like my training, so I do sign me up for self up for certain events and I'll go and I'll run them and I want a PB in them. So I'll take that day very, very serious and I take me training serious. But it's all about having fun. And that's the important thing, enjoying what you're doing. But on the day when you finish as well, trust me, you will be made up. Trust me.
Well, I've signed up for a 10K with Hooch, with Michael Sargood.
Yeah.
He sort of twisted my arm. In fact, he said to me last night, he said, whose idea was this?
Yeah.
His.
Look at his progress though as well.
I know, he's doing brilliantly.
He'd be doing backflips soon. He couldn't do a handstand a few weeks ago. And you know,
I saw your handstand. I was very impressed with your handstand. That's how come I spotted the hoodie, look.
But no, a change is possible. And, you know, it starts with one foot in front of the other. And as difficult as it is at the start, we keep going, we keep pushing through. Just like early days of recovery when we started, it was difficult. Everything was all over us to go and pick up, to go and have a drink, all of that stuff. Or when you start exercising or start running, our brain is telling us to stop. What are you doing this for? But we keep going, we keep pushing. And I know that within the next 12 months, you'll run half marathon.
Okay. It's on the podcast now. So it's like literally in stone, isn't it?
Yes.
I haven't said yes yet, though. But no. I'll tell you what, I'm open to it. Yes. I'm doing 10K in September, so we'll see. We'll see. Brilliant. That's my first goal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm loving it. And somebody actually, Justin, I interviewed, and he was talking about like the levels of sobriety and how you sort of start off focusing on just staying sober, just getting through the first everything, just get your head straight, do the work on yourself. And then it's like, okay, I feel good now. How can I feel better? You know, and then you start looking at different things and it's like, right now, what can I do next? And what can I do next? And I do think that running is, or not necessarily running, but some level of physical fitness is in there, because when you're drinking, you're not looking after your body. You're not in any way thinking about your health.
No, and that's the reason why I have a little look to see what the events calendar looks like and say, right, okay, let's commit myself. And there's that on that date or that on that date, and setting yourself that little target. And you know, you've got something to work towards then. And I honestly believe that setting yourself small achievable goals is really, really important. And that's why at the beginning of the year, I planned a goal for every single month this year. So as soon as one thing's finished, it's not a case of I can hang my trainees up now, I'm done, I've done that. Now what's next? I think it definitely gives me something to work towards when you've got a target, when you've got something booked in place, and you know, so you've got your 10K now in September, so you know you've got something to work towards over the next few months. And that'll be your motivation to get you up and get you out. But whilst we're drinking, you know, I was drinking and using excessively. But it's even for people now. So society, it's normal for people to think that they can go to work all day, come home overnight and drink one or two bottles of wine. They get up the next day, they get the kids to work, they go to work at school, they go to work and stuff. And you think, well, I'm fine, I'm functioning, I'm doing everything. But how do you actually feel? You know, majority of people around us now are functioning at 50, 60% efficiency, because we wake up in the morning, we've got a bit of a hangover, we're a bit sluggish, we've got up late, we might be ratty with the kids in the morning, we're rushing around, we get into work, it takes a little dinner time to get some food in us before we start to liven up. We've got a few hours left in work before we come home and we start again.
Yeah.
And any type of motivation to go and do any type of exercise or run around the block is absolutely the furthest thing possible. So far away. So, yeah. That area of people, of, you know, those people who socially drink at home every night, I think something that really should be talked about a little bit more.
Yeah, that was definitely me. You know, I could still function. I wasn't hungover. I was feeling below par. I was managing to cope. I was, you know, to the outside world, not a problem.
Yeah.
And because there's so many people in that bracket that, you know, it's too easy to look and think, well, I'm not that bad, I don't need to stop. Well, how about you rather than focusing on operating at 40 or 50%, why don't you think about operating? How can I operate at 80, 90, even 100%? Remove alcohol and see what you could achieve, see how much better that you could feel.
So one of the things that we want to be doing when we go into businesses and talk is covering around things like this. So speaking to the companies to say, well, you know, you obviously got a duty to your employees. And what we want to do is we want to talk to them and help them improve their physical, mental and emotional well-being. And one of the things that we're going to have to discuss is, how much alcohol do you drink overnight when you get home?
Yeah.
You know, do you think it's a problem? And have a discussion around that. Well, only drink one or two bottles of wine or one bottle of wine and it's fine. Okay, well, let's talk about it. Is it really? If we took that bottle of wine away for one night, how would you feel about that? How do you feel in the morning time when you get up? Are you running 100% or are you running half of that? We don't have to follow what society seems to think is the norm. That's what we do, because it's so much better without it.
It really is. And it is something that's sort of crept into society, isn't it, over the decades. I think we're hitting a point now, though, where there's more sober people talking about going sober for health, for well-being, who are saying, actually, do you know what, I feel better without it. I know a lot of younger people I talk to will say, I don't touch it.
Yeah,
I'm not really bothered. It's too expensive.
Yeah, and that's that is something that I see up here as well. Now, my son's 17. And he doesn't drink. He's very much into his fitness, eating right, exercising, doing all that. And he doesn't drink. A lot of his friends don't drink. A lot of the youngsters don't drink. You know, exercise is something that that seems to have replaced a lot of it. And then there is also the cost factor as well. I used to be able to go out when I was younger with, like, you know, £30-40 or something and have a night out. And I don't even know what it costs these days, but I know that people say it's like £30 a round. And it's just like, I don't know, I just don't understand it. And what do we get from that? Spend a lot of money and wake up the next day feeling terrible, which when we get a little bit older as well, takes days for it to obviously wear off.
It gets harder to deal with the hangovers. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%. There's absolutely no benefits in it whatsoever in my eyes. And the way I live my life now is much better, healthier and happier.
So if you were to go back to Stee at the start of you know, this time, what piece of advice would you give to him? I should imagine you, how did you feel at that point?
I was not long out of crisis. Because I was going back into the treatment centre as well for the second time, there was a lot of embarrassment, a lot of failure, me thinking that I failed, and all that was going through my head. But if I'm perfectly honest with you, if I go back and speak to him, I'd just say, just go and do what you've just done, because I don't feel like there's any areas that I could have done any differently, which would have improved things anymore. I feel like I've got this really, I did everything that I needed to do in the right way to get to the place that I am today. I honestly believe that. I don't think that there's anything else that I could have done which would have added any more value. The one thing that I'm working around is just being a little bit more present for my kids. This is something that I'm still working on. When we are in the madness and we destroy relationships, it does take a bit of time for everything to start to come back in, and I'm working on those relationships, particularly with my younger children. So that's one thing, one area in my life that I'm still working hard on.
And what would you say to somebody who's at the start, maybe sat there thinking, I think I'm drinking too much. You know, I've listened to this guy chatting about running and stuff. What would you say to them?
I'd say put the drink down. I would say that recovery is a beautiful thing and it is worth it. I would say to reach out, talk to people. You know, I'm on Instagram, Recovery Runners Searches, send us a message, we'll chat, talk to services local in your area, get yourself to a meeting, do whatever it takes, because the light at the end of the tunnel, which is what our hoodies represent, is that light is amazing. You know, you can start your life as soon as you start recovery. It starts with yourself. You've got to want to change. And when you've identified that you want to make those changes, there is so many services about, so many services that you can approach and start to talk to and get the ball rolling. And just like running, it's just one step at a time, one foot in front of the other, to get yourself started. But change is possible. Trust me, change is possible. Because if you'd have seen what I was like 13 months ago, you know, and there's so many people out there, if you look at their journeys from where they were to where they are now, you're just like, wow, so change is possible. That's what I would say.
It is really life-changing, isn't it? And it's really normal to feel scared.
Yeah.
Because it's all we've known. It's all we're told. It's how we're told to relax, to enjoy ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's the unknown, and it can feel very scary. I remember feeling incredibly scared at the idea of stopping drinking. I couldn't even bring myself to admit that I wanted to stop.
Yeah,
I had to sort of pretend I was on a break.
Yes, and I think one of the biggest things that holds some people back is if it's not common knowledge that Stephen's got a drink problem, it's very difficult for that person then to be able to enter some sort of sobriety or recovery, because it's like, okay, as soon as I say that I'm not drinking anymore, what's everybody going to think? Everybody's going to judge me. It's going to be, oh, did we know that Stephen had a drinking problem? People are going to be talking to me. Our mental voice goes haywire and doesn't allow us to stop because of the worry of what other people might think.
Yeah.
And nowadays, yes, obviously I can tell people that I'm in recovery because I've had some problems. Should it really matter what other people think? No, it shouldn't. But I do understand that that's the process, the thought process that we might go through is I'm going to be judged by others if I'm saying that I don't drink anymore. Because it's always the question, well, why don't you drink anymore? Why? You're being boring, you know, you're not being sociable. All this stuff goes on. Yeah, just take the steps that you need to. If you feel like drink is affecting your life in a negative way, maybe it's time to make a change.
Yeah. Yeah, and have you encountered that sort of any stigma, anybody judging you?
I feel like some people will judge people that are in recovery because they've probably got a lot of stuff going on for themselves. But I say that, you know, don't judge me for the mistakes that I've made in the past, but please judge me for the bravery and the courage it's took for me to change my life, because it's not easy. It's not easy to go from being dependent on drinking drugs to come to a place now where it's the furthest thing from your thought process. It's not an easy journey. I used to drink because my mental health was in a really bad place. That was always my biggest trigger, would be poor mental health. So I have to protect my mental health at all costs every single day. It was a coping mechanism for me. It was almost like I was self-medicating. I think if more people spoke about recovery and share their stories,
And I think sobriety does bring you closer together, doesn't it? Because it's like, look, we've all got these different backstories, but the enemy is the same.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, we're looking to be present. We're looking to regain our lives in a way that maybe we never have done.
Yeah. I totally agree.
What other tools have you got in your toolbox to help deal with anxiety? What do you do?
So I try and work on myself in three areas. I work on the physical well-being, which is all around the running, making sure my sleep hygiene is right, my food, etc., etc. Then the stuff around my mental well-being is my recovery program, SMART, is centered around cognitive behavioral therapy. So a lot of managing thoughts, feelings, and behaviors around, you know, when we're thoughts are coming in, how I can deal with them, and so I use my SMART for that stuff. And then the emotional well-being areas, things around mindfulness, meditation, you know, even tapping into a bit of spiritual well-being. Now, I will always say that I'm not a spiritual person, but I'm seem to be like really, and I don't know why this is. I don't know why I can't like sort of say, well, I feel like I might be quite spiritual. But I am very much, I don't know what it is, this law of attraction, this universe type energy of people and stuff. I'm very much into all that. So, you know, I swear I've got crystals, I do cold water dips.
Breath work. Oh, you do the cold water. Oh, well done.
Yes. Have you done cold water?
No, I can't. I can't bring myself to do it. I can't. I tried the thing where you turn the shower to cold.
Yeah.
And I screamed and turned it.
Right. Okay.
But I understand the theory because I love Wim Hof, and I love all of the theory behind it and the dopamine, and it's just actually I've got to do it in public or something. I've got to go and like, I say, I don't mean like go and have a shower, but I've got to go and do a challenge or something. I think.
Yeah. Well, there's two for you. I think half marathon and a cold water dip, because
at the same time.
Well, do your half marathon and straight into
and
the
then jump in an ice bath at the end.
There you go. Yeah. It's another thing that I do, whereas you can really tap into the feelings of what you've just been through after it and how it makes you feel. So I cold shower every morning, and that's the same. So that scream, turn it off. Well, there you go. There's your first go. That was your first run. Next time you might scream a little bit longer. But it's literally, again, so we can jump in the shower now and it's freezing cold and it's fine. You get used to it. But all the scientific like evidence and how it makes us feel and how it regulates our central nervous system and how it can help with any pains and aches that you've got within your body is incredible. So once a month, we go for a cold water dip as a community. But I do love getting out and just taking that time, because again, I ain't multitasking when I'm in this freezing lake. I ain't doing nothing other than I've got to concentrate on my breath here, because when we plunge, the first thing that goes, we start to hyperventilate. So we
it
need
sounds
to
like
our
such
breath.
A fun afternoon.
We need to You're control not- our breath, get ourselves in. And it is wonderful. Honestly, it's character building.
Oh, character building. Yeah, I remember that from my school PE days, character building. Yeah, that's why I haven't run for 45 years.
Now that I feel better about myself in all those areas, there's absolutely no need or reason for me to want to go and pick up. Because a lot of the time that I would use and have a drink would be because I'm feeling pretty crappy. And, you know, there's stuff going on for me. My head's a bit busy to cope. I drink. Because that would block all that off and make me feel better. But it would almost mask all those feelings. Whereas now, when I work on all that stuff, I'm in such a great place. There's absolutely no reason or need for me to go and reach out for a drink. And I feel like that if a lot of people do some coaching around their well-being, how to improve it in these three areas, there's a potential that they don't need to go home overnight now and have a drink, because they're content enough as they are. And they can just go home and enjoy the time with the family or use that time then to do one of the things that they love every single day. You know, I haven't got time to do it. Well, we've got time to drink bottles of wine overnight. So let's look at what you do love, which makes you feel good, and replace it replace the poison with something else that's naturally going to make you feel good, whether it be crocheting, cricket, you know, golf, football, whatever it might be, take the time out.
Yeah. And alcohol becomes its own solution, doesn't it? It's like, oh, I feel low, I'll have a drink. Yeah. I'll, you know, and then, well, I'm not drinking, now I'm feeling irritable. Well, I'll have a drink, I feel better. And then you associate that good feeling with the drink.
Yeah.
Rather than thinking, well, actually, if I remove that completely, give it a little bit of time for my system to settle, yeah, then the joy can return in those things. Because any of these other things, I know as a drinker, right, I would have scoffed and laughed at the idea of me running or cold water dipping or, you know, because everything came from alcohol.
Yeah.
All my joy came from alcohol. So I just looked at everything else and looked down my nose at it a little bit. Whereas actually, do you know what? They are the most joyful things.
Yeah.
But you've not got a chance to feel it while you're drinking.
And you know, that what you're saying there about like looking down your nose, like the fact of going out and running or doing something like that, I see that now in regards to some people come to our group because their group of friends don't run or, you know, don't exercise or don't want to enjoy the positive energy that we bring on a Sunday. To the words of saying things like that, what are you doing that for? And this is from obviously friendship groups. What are you doing that for? Why are you going there? Those friends in that friendship group are the ones that it's so far disconnected from. Well, now this is what I do of a night or of a weekend, and you going out and doing that just
doesn't make sense.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't make sense.
I think for me it was never sort of, it was never meant in a judgmental way. It was more a kind of a, why would you do that? I used to say, when I see a happy jogger, I'll take it up. And I tell you what, if you see me running around now, I've got a massive grin on my face because I'm doing it. I'm doing something that I've set myself a challenge to do. Like sobriety, I'm doing it and I'm happy about it. And it feels amazing to be sober. And it was the thing I was most scared of.
Yeah. And that thing about smiling, do you know it's scientifically proven that if you smile when you're running, it makes it easier?
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's not scientifically proven, but that's what I tell the people in the group when they're really struggling. Put a smile on your face and say good morning to people as you run around the park. It will be easier. But because I feel like when I'm running a long distance, is if I am smiling within myself and literally running around smiling, it feels easier.
I think your experience has been just night and day, isn't it? Where you were to where you are now and how you're helping people and the community that you're building. That's not just getting yourself sober. That's helping other people as well. That's meaning of life stuff. That's amazing.
Yeah. And that's really one of the things that is important, I think, also in recovery, is for helping others and giving back. And, you know, that's what I feel like I'm doing now. I'm giving back a little bit. And if we can help one person, you know, we can save one person's life, then job done. But the reality of it is we're going to save multiple, multiple, multiple people. And that makes me feel good.
And they in turn will help more. Exactly. And it's just a snowball effect. The more we talk about it, the more we share, the more we arrange get-togethers, the more we arrange community events. Absolutely. It's going to make a difference. I'm just so delighted to talk to you and to get the tips on running. So when I've got flies in my teeth from running next time.
Yes. Yeah. It's okay. It's okay. It's all right.
I'm just a happy runner.
A bit of protein as you're going along. It's fine. It's all good.
Oh, well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
No problem. So two things then. One is, well, three things actually. One, you're going to have to come up to Liverpool at some point and run with us.
Absolutely.
Two, sign up for a half marathon, and three, cold water dip.
You said two. You said two things.
Okay. Yeah, I'll make it three. The cold water dip one, really, when you were like against
okay,
that.
Okay, all right. Yeah, that was the one. Did you know the half marathon just slipped by?
Yeah, that was easy, that one. What, cold water? But if you think of that though, it's literally just some cold water.
Yeah.
You're okay with going to run 13 and a bit miles, but the fact of putting yourself in some cold water, it'll be a doddle. Do you know on holiday when you jump in the swimming pool first thing in the morning and it's cold? It's not far off that.
I don't even do that.
I guarantee after that you'd be like, wow, why haven't I done this before?
But it's been absolutely amazing. I will at some point definitely come up to see you and to run with you. That would be such an honour.
That would be lovely, thank you. No, thank you very much for having me on.
If you'd like to find out more about the Recovery Runners or STEE, I will put the links in the show notes. And as always, if you'd like to find out more about myself, head to louisaevans.com, where you can find out about working with me in therapy. You can also find links to my audiobook, Becoming a Sober Rebel, and self-hypnosis recordings if you'd like to have a go. Use code SOBERREBEL to buy one, get one free. As always, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Have a great day.